about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome to the big show.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Can't see how they haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, now, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it's at this, but it's going to hit all this warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather, oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Drive some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. The Navy to go in circles and fight it the other way.
And now,
any movie with Waka Chaka Waka in it is okay by me.
Waka Chaka Waka Chaka Waka Chaka Waka Chaka Waka.
It was the 3rd of September. The day I'll always remember.
Our feature presentation.
How long you been sitting on that one, B?
A while.
You found it like 6 years ago?
A while.
It never worked out. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday morning, the 3rd.
Tuesday.
Right? The 3rd of September. Okay.
It was the 3rd of September.
Why can't every week be a four-day week?
I support it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's holding us back? We've got this great idea, and America as a nation has said, no, we're going to do that like 3 times a year. The whole rest of the year, it's a 5-day work week.
Yeah, I can't answer that.
I feel like we're on to something. I feel like coming back to work on a Tuesday is way better.
Do we just say that we're in, and then it happens? Like, what's the protocol here?
Well, I think at the beginning it's going to be a rough, tough sled.
Okay.
But we just all call in sick. What are they going to do?
Okay.
All of us.
Yeah, but I don't think you
exact,
can.
Exact same illness. But every Monday for a year.
Right, but you can't call in sick like 40 times in a year and keep
your
job.
That's the thing. If we just stopped coming and didn't do anything and then just said, what are you talking about?
They probably wouldn't even know.
Yeah, it's the weekend.
Right.
I'm just saying I support it and it's a good idea.
Okay.
All right. So much to get to. Big, big show today. But before I run out of time, I want to start with this. It was my favorite story of the weekend. There was so much bad news this weekend. My God, it was crushing. But I'm bringing you good news.
Okay.
And I don't know if you saw this or not about the trainee pilot in Australia.
I did not.
See this story?
Mm-mm.
Up for a little flying lesson?
Emergency, emergency, emergency.
It all started with a distress call from trainee pilot Max Sylvester, aged in his 30s.
This is Tango Foxtrot Romeo. Can you please hear me?
His instructor had just lost consciousness.
Tango Foxtrot Romeo, are you familiar with how to operate the airplane?
Very, very light. This is my first lesson.
Okay, so
I'm sorry.
The instructor had a seizure and was completely unresponsive, just slumped basically against the window of the plane. If you missed what Mr. Sylvester said there, it is his first lesson, and he is up in the plane.
Fantastic.
Which is what you want, right?
Bad luck.
Now, have you, at this point, Jensen, if this is you, have you already pooped yourself?
No, I already jumped out the window. I just, it's done for me. I don't want to even play. This is like when you see zombie movies, and I'm like, well, I would have just shot myself at the beginning, 5 minutes in. Yeah.
So, in other words, you don't even want to take a risk of crashing that plane. You'd rather guaranteed death, just jump out.
Yeah.
Just jump
out. It's over. Why go through the motions?
Okay.
In the cockpit, the pilot's medical condition is deteriorating, but the air traffic controllers calmly help the students circle the airport to learn the lay of the runway.
Have you landed any aircraft before by yourself or with someone else at the controls with you?
No, I haven't.
So he's never landed a plane
never
before.
Never done it. Yeah.
He's the guy behind the wheel.
On the ground, Max Sylvester's wife and children watch as a full-scale emergency response unfolds on the tarmac.
By the way, at least your family is down there to watch you crash in flames,
your
right?
Your wife and children.
Right there, right over there. That's where Daddy's going to end in a giant fireball.
I hate it.
It's not fun yet.
The man in control of the plane holds his nerve.
You're doing really, really well, mate.
The control tower talks him through every step.
Just your speed. You're a little bit too fast, so on the next approach we need to go a little bit slower.
Landing safely back at Jandakot Airport at 6 o'clock last night, to the relief of dozens of onlookers.
Well, when the plane landed, everyone clapped and the atmosphere was relieved, and then all the emergency service vehicles went out.
There was no damage at all to the plane. Matter of fact, it was a perfect landing.
How about that?
Unbelievable. A perfect landing.
Better than most of our other pilots.
Yes. And by the way, I'll also say this. We often point out how calm 911 operators
yes.
are. Air traffic controllers, same way. They are the calming voice that you need to get you to accomplish something.
They're
like
on Quaaludes. Listen, so my scary thing is, like, I think I would be, if I was on the plane, I'd be like, what is going on? I would be freaking out.
You'd be the
out.
Freaking out thing?
This guy seemed just as calm.
Yeah, the guy who's
the
piloting?
Pilot. Yeah. I would yeah. never have even kept any composure.
And but what keep in mind, his teacher kept slumping and, like, moving onto him. So he kept having to push his teacher off of him because he was slumped, like, unconscious, like, hovering over him.
But, Jensen, yeah. now that you see how the story ends, the guy landed the plane without any trouble. Are you the idiot for jumping out?
No. I would not have kept my composure like this guy. I would have felt much better with no actual skydiving
Hope
experience.
Is painful.
Yeah, it's, goodbye. Okay.
I thought this was really interesting. So they had him circle past to get, as they said, the lay of the land of the runway, and then they brought him in for the landing. And here is the final 25 seconds of that flight as air traffic control is advising him on how to land this plane again for the first time ever.
Nose down more, nose down more, nose down more, nose down more, nose down more. Perfect, perfect. Power, little bit, power off, power off, power off, power off. Raise the nose gently. Raise the nose gently. Hold it off. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it right there. This is perfect. Hold it. Hold it. Brake gently. Start braking now. Gently start braking now. And you're down on the ground. You did it, mate. Well done. That's amazing. You've done so well.
And by the way, he did get his certificate for his first solo landing as a result of this. And he also said, I hope they're not going to make me pay for this lesson. And they said, okay, they're not. But when I heard that air traffic controller at the end, you know, talking him down, the only thing I thought was, remix.
Stop being so repetitive.
Remix.
Oh, remix. Okay. Right.
Hit it, beer mug.
Nose down more, nose down more. Nose
oh, yeah.
down more, nose
yeah.
down more.
Yeah.
Nose down
yeah.
more. Perfect.
So
perfect.
Good.
Power, power off.
Oh, God.
Raise the nose gently. Raise the nose gently.
Yeah.
Hold it, mm-hmm. hold it, hold it,
yeah.
hold it, hold it, hold it. Perfect.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga!
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
no. You did it, mate. Well done. That's amazing.
Yes.
You've done so well.
Smell it. I mean,
quite an ending.
She enjoyed it very
she
much.
Did.
She stuck the landing.
She is somebody who likes a lot of direction.
Sure does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we all do. A little bit.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Hold it, hold it, right. hold it, hold it right there. This
okay.
is perfect.
This is perfect. Okay. You should have gone to the doctor. I think this is mostly a guy thing.
Oh, it's I definitely so a guy
right?
thing.
Right? Because
yeah.
guys are dumb when it comes to going to the doctor.
Well.
Yes?
I mean, I can't argue.
I mean,
I certainly have been guilty of it many times.
Bean fell off a stage, mm-hmm. got taken to an ambulance, got off of the ambulance, and just went home.
Yeah.
He was bit by a cat with rabies, and he waited days to go in.
Yeah.
And then started medication because he called someone over the phone.
Yeah. Dave, King of Mexico, same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've had many times when I should go to the doctor. I don't know why guys are dumb, but we are.
Because it's pain in the butt.
It's inconvenient. Mine was not in the butt, but yeah. if you want to share, feel free.
Okay.
Would you go to the doctor for that?
They have a cream.
Oh.
Allie is going to explain to us what chore play is.
Yeah.
We have tickets for Tool. How about that? Coming to Southern California, we're going to give you some tickets this morning with a game.
Who listened to the album over the weekend?
I did.
I did multiple times.
Really?
It's great.
It was a long
hour
weekend.
And a half, yeah.
It is great.
I see what you did over the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. I listened to I kind of rotated between Taylor last week, Lana, and Tool this week. It was a very weird mixtape.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Those three together. One of these is not like the other, but man, they're all such great albums.
And because we were off yesterday, we're going to do great news today. We will take 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
What's Coldplay been up to lately, by the way? Wasn't there a lot of talk around that last album that it might be their last album?
I feel like there always is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure what they've been up to. I hope not,
I hope not, too. Yeah, they still got it. Hey, Kevin mentioned we have Tool tickets for their upcoming shows at the Staples Center to give away. We'll play some Tool for you coming up next. First, though, Allie's got what's happening here on this Tuesday.
I feel like Labor Day weekend. Everyone's getting their last bit of summer in, mm-hmm. maybe traveling quite a bit. Nobody's seeing movies. Is essentially the thing. There's not a lot happening at the box office. Angel Has Fallen, $11.5 million over the weekend. Should close out the holiday with about $14.4 million.
How was it, Kevin?
Number one.
Saw it.
And, of course you did.
Look. Here's the thing about these movies. The action
yes.
is
What's
great.
What's the thing about mm-hmm. these movies?
The action is great.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The special effects are great. Mm-hmm. Just keep the storyline out of my way. Don't make
okay.
obvious, like, huge things where you go, how are they attacking the hospital that the president's in for 20 minutes
uh-huh.
and no one from any military or anywhere goes in? How okay. are they still doing that? The president of the United States is in there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you start 10 minutes in, you go, this is great action, but... Mm-hmm. Somebody should show up by now. I don't know. It's just distracting.
You don't like the plot holes.
I'm just saying make them so that they're not so... Mm. It's not that hard to make that less distracting.
Yeah.
They paid no attention to it.
You're too smart for these movies now, Kevin.
Don't think so.
Have you aged out?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Have you aged out?
I think this was poorly done
Have
that way.
Have you smarted out?
No, definitely not.
Okay. By the way, I'm not sure that saying less story is smarter.
No, I'm saying keep the story out of the way. That's all I'm saying. Just make it make sense.
Make it more believable for Kevin.
You don't want to have any moments in the theater where going, I'm really enjoying this, but no, there's no way that would happen.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
See?
Come on
Too
now.
Too smart for these movies. That's what I'm saying.
A lot of these movies are done quite well.
Mm-hmm.
This one, everything except the storyline was done quite well.
Gerard Butler, though?
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Coming in number two, Good Boys. They held steady at number two. The Lion King coming in third. Wow, you guys, that's doing pretty good. Hobbs and Shaw coming in fourth. That's about $684 million worldwide. Not bad for Hobbs and Shaw. And Ready or Not with a fifth place finish there. You guys hear about Kevin Hart's weekend?
Oh, yeah. So scary.
What the heck? Yeah, he is recovering from a serious car accident over the holiday weekend. Here's the thing. I don't quite understand what happened.
Okay.
So he's in the car. He's not driving, by the way.
Passenger seat.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. His friend is driving. Also, is he his trainer, workout guy? Every story is different, but his friend Jared Black is driving. This, by the way, is his electric blue 1970 Plymouth Barracuda. It's his pride and joy.
Wow.
Bought it for his birthday. He loves it. It swerved off Mulholland Highway in Malibu Hills, crashed through a wooden fence, falling into a gully around 1 a.m. on Sunday. The roof of the car was crushed from the impact of the crash. Two people were basically stuck in the car.
Oh.
Kevin Hart left. A friend came and picked him up. He left.
Left the whole scene?
Yeah. Then he got he got treatment.
One report I heard suggested, and you're right, the details are fuzzy, mm-hmm. that he left to go call for help, which seemed weird to me because I would imagine there were three cell phones in that car.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
That's odd.
Two people trapped in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Odd, but no spinal cord problems for Kevin Hart. Had surgery, expected to make a full recovery. The more seriously injured was his friend Jared Black that was driving. He was pinned in the car, and he was flown to UCLA Medical Center. All around, very bizarre little ending to that story.
And there was a woman in the car who had suffered very few minor injuries,
yes,
right?
Who they're saying is the girlfriend of Jared Black, who might be his trainer.
Gotcha.
Is everyone training each other in the story?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's very odd. It happened near enough to his house that he could call someone that person could come and get him, take him away from the scene, mm-hmm. and then it's weird. It's weird.
It's weird for a celebrity to flee a scene at which he's not at fault for anything.
Yes. Yes, Bean. That is a good way of saying it.
Good way of saying maybe his trainer wasn't driving.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the whole time, too.
What?
Why else would he run from the scene?
Instead of helping his friend get out of the car, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Look, we don't know. We're guessing. It's all alleged. Yeah, of course not. But
maybe he got a poop.
Oh, we didn't think about the poop. Maybe.
Kevin Hart, your comment?
To all the kids out there, I just want to say don't drink. Oh. You know, when alcohol's in your system, you do dumb stuff.
Okay.
We don't know.
That was him after he had stormed the stage when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, which was some of the best video you've ever seen. Him being held back. He's like, I'm Kevin Hart. I'm the biggest fan.
When they let Drake sit on the bench for the Raptors, Kevin Hart feels like he should be able to be part of his team, too.
You're right. You are so right. All right, guys. Some birthdays for you. Shaun White, Steve Jones. How much do we love Steve Jones?
The best.
Jonesy.
Legend.
Remember the video of him walking down the beach where he just had this like old-timey music playing and he's doing this weird walk? I'm just saying, go to Steve Jones' Instagram. You will be delighted by what you see. And Charlie Sheen.
I'm tired of pretending like I'm not special. I'm tired of pretending like I'm not bitching a total freaking rock star from Mars.
Okay, well, happy birthday to you on Mars. And that's...
Wake up!
Yeah!
I just don't feel like that's the song to do it. If your alarm goes on during that, it's like...
Yeah, but there's also something to be said for easing your way into
the
day. I mean, would you rather wake up to that or wake up to Sober by Tool, as people did a few minutes ago?
Sober.
Mm-hmm. Really? You'd be fine with waking up to that?
I also think Kevin was doing System of a Down right there.
Wake up! Tuesday, that feels like a Monday. That means great news coming up right after the top of the hour. And then you should have gone to the doctor... But you didn't.
Dudes.
We'll discuss.
Guys. Dudes.
Coming up. First, Allie's got what's happening in a very special what's happening right
guys,
now.
Guys, we're going to give away Tool tickets later in the show. You got to earn them. But I feel like you're up early, 6:53 in the morning. You're easing back into the work week. You don't want to earn anything just yet. Why not give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to Tool at the Staples Center on either October 20th or 21st.
It's huge.
It is huge, you guys. This is in support of their latest release, Fear Inoculum, the band's first album in 13 years. Tickets, by the way, on sale Friday, September 6th at 10 a.m. But you, yes, you.
Somebody call my mama.
Can win right now by being caller 20. You are going to get a pair of tickets to Tool at the Staples Center, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck to you.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you, too.
1-877-BEAN
the dick. Okay. Better?
Yes.
Better?
B-E-A-N-BEAN the dick.
That's not the number.
I mean, it feels better than the other number.
It is a good number.
Yeah.
Like the call. Now.
All right. Okay. So recently, Justin Bieber has been...
Someone call someone!
Okay, we covered it.
Okay.
has been honest with fans about his mental health, and now he's sharing even more about his journey. In a lengthy Instagram post on Sunday, he opened up about his past struggles, and it really shows how far he's come. If you get a chance, read his whole Instagram, because it's things that you always thought about Justin Bieber, and he admits to all of it.
Oh, really?
Like, stuff when you were like, this kid, like, what is he doing with his life? He admits to all of it and how he was basically thrust into the spotlight at the age of 13. And within 2 years, his life completely changed. And he didn't learn any of the things he had to learn his life. It is sad. So he said, have you noticed the statistics of child stars and the outcome of their life? There's an insane pressure and responsibility put on a child whose brain, emotions, frontal lobes, their decision-making, isn't even developed yet. No rationality. defiant, rebellious, things all of us have to go through. But then you add the pressure of stardom, and it does something to you that's quite unexplainable.
Amen.
I agree with that.
He goes on to say, I went from being a 13-year-old boy from a small town to being praised left and right by the world, with millions saying how much they loved me and how great I was. You hear these things enough as a young boy, and you actually start believing it. Rationality comes with age.
And that's why you end up, you know, peeing in a, what did he pee in, a bucket or
mop,
something?
Yeah. A mop bucket.
Yeah. Mop bucket, because he just feels like, look, I'm invincible. I'm the king of the world. I can do anything I want with no consequences, because that's what the world told him.
Absolutely. He said, everyone did everything for me, so I never even learned the fundamentals of responsibility. By this point, I was 18 with no skills in the real world, with millions of dollars and access to whatever I wanted. And he talks a lot about drug use. And he says, when you're performing on stage in front of huge crowds, that's the biggest rush of your life. Then you're off stage and you don't have that rush.
What do you do? Yeah.
So you turn to drugs. He talks about how so many entertainers turn to drugs. And he said, I started doing pretty heavy drugs at 19 and abused all of my relationships. I became resentful, disrespectful to women, and angry. I became distant to everyone who loved me. And I was hiding behind a shell of the person that I had become.
Who wrote this for him?
He did. He's been very introspective lately. He felt like he could never turn it around. And then, of course, he takes a very positive turn in the post, talks about the wonderful phase of his life that he's in now, bouncing back from all of his bad decisions, his wife, Haley. It's a wonderful thing to read, where you go, whoa, this...
He deserves all the credit in the world for his honesty and his bravery and his commitment to becoming a healthier person.
How old is he now?
25?
Yeah, I think 25, 26.
Because usually that's like a 35-year-old talking with that. It sounds like he's really got insight in it.
He had to do everything early, so...
Jensen, you know Haley pretty well. Does she seem like the type of person who is a caretaker, who really, I mean, is really the engine kind of to get him to this point?
She's very much a motherly type of helpful person, especially amongst like her friends and stuff we would see on set a lot. So it makes sense, and I've seen them... We all ended up in Orlando for taping, and they seemed like a cute young couple. I don't necessarily know if, like, they are heavy deep into therapy together. Maybe they are. I don't know. But I'm saying that kind of attitude is definitely what I see amongst them. So
I'm just so happy to see this, because, you know, your fear is, here's another Amy Winehouse. You know, that's what you worry about down the road. But it sounds like he's got it together. And it's good that he's taken, you know, taking time off when he's needed to. And I'm with you, Allie.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Well, I don't want to get into it now, but mad respect to the Beavs.
Yeah. He ends the post by saying, listen, if you think your life is beyond repair, you can always grow. You can evolve through it. It takes hard work, but it is possible. So I think that's... Wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And if you... Seriously, if you get a chance, it's a lengthy Instagram post.
I was comfortable hating him.
See, no.
Now I have to change my whole opinion.
Yeah, he's really grown.
Good for you.
I think, too, like, if you... We bring this up a lot on the show, but, like, if you only allow someone to be, like, their teenage self and don't follow the rest of their career, whether it's Jaden Smith or people who've done good stuff with their... kind of with their platform.
Shia LaBeouf.
Just because they're millennials doesn't mean they're always stupid. They're
agreed.
Sometimes stupid.
People grow up.
Yep.
People grow up.
That's the takeaway from today's show.
Takeaway. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
That could have been your great news.
It really could have been. I still have a good one coming up, which we're going to get to in just a bit. But first, some birthdays for you.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Again, we'll talk to you later about that. Steve Jones, Shaun White, and Charlie Sheen.
I've been riding it on a Mercury surfboard.
Okay, cool.
Hey, party people. Thanks for tuning in. It was a tough weekend, Kevin. I know you don't watch the news because you're a kid.
I don't.
That hurricane.
Oh, I saw some of that.
Is maybe the worst hurricane ever. Can you imagine? You know, you see what kind of damage a tornado does when it's over your house for 20 seconds. Imagine a hurricane with 185 mile an hour winds over where you live for 3 days.
Yeah, it just stalled, right? It just wouldn't move.
It was going 1 mile per hour.
And then it was going zero last night, Allie. It was going 0 miles an hour above where people live. Yeah. I don't know what's going to be left of the Bahamas when it's done.
Yeah.
But that's Bean's great news.
No. Mm. I'm just saying there was that, and there was the horrible, horrible boat fire in California, and there was another mass shooting in Texas. It was just a terrible weekend to have the news on. And that's why we're moving away from that, and we're bringing you some things to make you happy like we do every week about this time. We call it Great News.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for Great News Today.
Great news!
Allie gave me a story, and we've been laughing about this since we saw it.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. There's a little kid, 12-year-old named Max Tingle, and every day when he gets home from school, his older brother Noah, who's 17 years old, he's 12, his 17-year-old brother meets him in some type of costume. Every day. Just to kind of make an impression on him. This is his senior year. He's going to go away to college. He wants to make sure he bonds with Max, the 12-year-old. And it's the sweetest, funniest thing. And then it got on social media, and people started sending costumes. And it's incredible. Here's their story.
The bus ride home from school has become a lot more creative for one family in Central this year.
News 2's Johnston Von Springer has more on the bus stop surprise between brothers that's gained quite the following on social media.
I don't want a bus stop surprise, by the way. That doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound good.
By the way, who has a better name? What was that? Justin Von Stringer? Was that
his name? Yeah, it was like four names.
And do a report on Max Tingle. I mean, this story has everything.
Yeah, Michael, Sylvia, Noah Tingle is a senior at Central High, and one summer break ended, he wanted to do something to make his senior year memorable for his little brother and best friend, Max, but he never expected his after-school antics to gather such a following.
Most kids look forward to the bus ride home after a long day of school, but Max Tingle enjoys his drop-off for a totally different reason.
What's up, big dog?
His older brother Noah is waiting for him outside each day, donning anything from an LSU football uniform to today's firefighter outfit.
Did you see when he was wearing the Santa Claus costume?
Yes.
And his brother, like, straight sprinted to try and get away from him?
And the Chewbacca outfit, he's, like, hitting him, like, leave me alone.
It's my last year of high school, and I saw he was coming off the bus when I was at home, so I just want to embarrass him.
Rain or shine, Noah makes sure he's out front when his brother's bus comes down the street. Usually, a warm embrace follows, but originally for Max, it wasn't something he totally looked forward to.
At first, I was surprised and kind of embarrassed, but now I'm just used to it.
It sounds like he's just giving up. He's giving up life. Oh, look, now I can't do anything about it, so I guess that's the way it is.
And the costume greeting has taken on a life of its own. A Facebook page now dedicated to the Daily Charade has hundreds of followers.
It's gotten a lot bigger than I thought it would ever be. For the amount of people that saw it and loved it, it was just crazy.
Teachers, students, strangers, even the bus driver, all checking in each day to see what exactly Noah will be wearing.
That's a good sign of people need this.
Yeah, for sure.
So many people were wondering what this older brother's going to be wearing when he met his brother.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
Is this a summer school he was doing it for? I mean, is this getting ready to end?
No, I think it's August, and he's getting ready to go. He's a senior, and he's going to be playing sports, and he's not going to be home before his brother.
Gotcha.
Coming up in a little bit.
From Santa Claus to Max's favorite Chewbacca, it's always a surprise until that bus pulls up.
I mean, the first outfit was just kind of something silly, and then I started to come up more ideas. But then when my mom started posting them, people were donating different costumes and outfits, so just started using theirs.
A few weeks into the school year, Noah doesn't know how much longer he'll keep his welcome home ritual going. But before college starts calling next year, he wants to make sure Max has plenty of good memories, regardless of how goofy they may be.
It's such a sweet story.
I love it so much.
As much as he's half trying to embarrass his brother, he's also there for him every day when he gets off the bus.
Yeah.
Yep,
awesome.
It's all love right
now. And
there.
That's my great news.
There are a lot of wonderful charities that do what they can to help our military men and women, and I want to spotlight one today called Support the Enlisted. And it's like many others, it's one where you can nominate somebody, a person who's currently serving or a veteran who needs help. And Raven Smith was nominated recently. This is a local story. This happened down in Torrance. She is an Army veteran who has been without an automobile for a year. And you can imagine how tough that is, living in Torrance without having a car, yeah. Okay? So Support the Enlisted is the project, and they nominated her, and they came up with a plan. Allstate Insurance is the sponsor of this, and 20 different technicians from a place called Caliber Collision down in Torrance, shout out, they restored a car for her.
Wow.
They basically gave it to her. They showed her, they brought her to the place, and it was a big surprise. She's an 11-year veteran, by the way, who's deployed twice to combat zones in Iraq. And as you can imagine, when they unveiled a new-to-her car, she completely teared up.
It's going to change my life dramatically. I'll be able to drive to Target just to get groceries. I don't have to pay $10 to go and get groceries, which is right down the street from my house.
She, by the way, lost her car a year ago when it basically overheated and the engine seized up. She was taking her 13-year-old daughter to a medical appointment. That's when she lost her car. Wow. Since then, she has been walking nearly an hour each way back and forth to work. So this car is really going to be a lifesaver. So shout out to Allstate Insurance and Caliber Collision in Torrance. It's great. And the organization, again, if you want to check it out, is called Support the Enlisted. And that's my great news.
I brought you this story last year, and Kevin and Bean listeners came out in full force, as they always do, and I just want to thank you again for that, but it's
was
time...
Was Lisa and Colt Jam there also?
Wow. Did you just Lisa and Colt Jam full force it?
Oh my God.
Jesus!
Do we have to stop now?
We do. But this is such a good story. I want to continue.
All right.
So I had heard about this. There's a woman named Tanya Suster that had seen a video of a program up at Fresno State where they all got together at the school and they made life a little bit easier for the kids moving into the dorms that had aged out of the foster care system. These are kids that basically, once they're 18, they have nobody anymore.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, it's different state to state, but yeah. Usually 18 to 21, you age out of foster care. You're
I didn't
done.
Know that until Luke Robitaille's charity.
Yes.
He has a charity where he helps those kids go to college, and I was like, what, you can age out?
Absolutely. So think about when you started college, and you went to your dorm room the first day, and your mom and dad were there. They were helping you make the bed, and they were like, okay, we're going to buy you this, we're going to buy you that. They don't have this at all. So these are kids that made it into UCLA after overcoming so many obstacles in the foster care system. They are so inspiring. So this woman, Tanya Suster, decided, well, we're going to make it a little easier for them. Now they're on their third annual dorm room drive, and they do such incredible things. They buy everything for them, and you can go on to fosterkidsucla.com. It costs about $500 per student just for the basics. That's sheets, towels, mattress pads, extension cords, toiletry, stuff that they go to their first day and they don't have.
Yeah.
But because of these people that all got together to do this, they have it. And they have a group of people that go down for the move-in, which this year it's a little bit later. So it's September 19th and 20th at UCLA. They make their beds for them. There's moral support.
Oh, that's awesome.
They go and buy UCLA hats like everybody else has. So they've got everything there ready for them on move-in day. So they feel like they're a part of something, which is so beautiful. And they couldn't make it easier on fosterkidsucla.com. You can donate Venmo. You can donate. You could go to the registry. You could buy specific things. It's so easy on their website. And Kevin and Bean fans and listeners last year did so much. And she was sending me pictures and videos of these kids that were like, this feels like Christmas. This is amazing. I can't believe, A, that not only did I make it into UCLA, but now everything I need is right here on my first day, which is such a blessing for these kids. So if you want to take part, again, it's fosterkidsucla.com. And it's amazing, and it's the third annual dorm room drive. So let's get every single one of those kids moving in everything that they need to start their school year off right. And that's my...
Let me just say one more quick thing about this Hurricane Dorian, and that is, how many times over the weekend did you guys see a reporter standing out on the beach talking about how the governor had issued a mandatory evacuation order And people are just walking by.
Yep. Always happens.
Behind them, just eating fries yep. and heading out, laying their towels out in the sand. I'm like, what part of mandatory evacuation do you guys not get?
Also, we don't need the reporter out there.
No.
No.
It needs to be
explained.
That's
never going
to
change,
It doesn't
though.
Help ratings
if
that much.
If it's raining, nope. they have to be in the rain. It's just that's how they do it.
Even inside.
Put a static camera out there.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a person out there who can barely stand because the wind is so bad.
Exactly.
I don't get it. All right. Guys are dumb, and we know it for a lot of reasons. I guess Dave kind of put this back on our radar, so why don't we start with him? The topic is, you know you should have gotten medical assistance. There's no reason why you didn't go to the doctor for this thing, but because you're a stupid man, you didn't.
Or a stupid woman that acts like a stupid man. But
yeah,
there are very few of those. Way
yeah.
fewer.
What happened, King?
Well, this goes back to the Kevin Party Bus Vegas singles party. Mm-hmm. Me and Muggs were partying with a group of friends, and I decided it would be a good idea to do a handstand at 4 o'clock in the morning while wasted.
Hmm. How did that – do you remember how that came up?
Yeah, we were playing a drinking game. You shouldn't play drinking games at 4 a.m. No. in the morning.
No. Yeah. Well, you're 21,
yes,
so it
yes.
makes sense.
So it makes sense. You know, we're new to drinking, and yeah. it's smart.
And yeah. your body can take it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I attempt to do this handstand, which I want to say I did.
Yes, I believe you need to post that video because it's one of the funniest things I've seen.
Do you have video of the actual injury?
I do, yeah.
yeah.
Wow.
But I'm not going to post it. You know, I land squarely on my shoulder.
Oof.
And when he says he does a handstand, I mean
I did a handstand.
In the falling over part, he was there for a split second.
There were legs
I was
in the
upright.
Air.
I was
yes.
upright
yes,
and
you
go
were.
Straight down.
Right
I go straight
on the shoulder.
Down.
Oh,
not,
no.
not falling over,
so,
straight down.
So gravity worked.
Gravity did work.
yeah. yeah. So I land straight on my shoulder and immediately it hurts. I'm like, ow, 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 ow. And I'm laughing, and, you know, I'm drunk at this time, so it's fine.
Plus, you're at a party. You
yeah, know, yeah, yeah. And then a couple of minutes later, you know, maybe about 15 minutes later, I'm like, all right, I'm going to call it a night because I'm in too much pain, and I'm going to go to bed. So I go to bed. The next morning, I wake up, can't lift my arm, can't lift, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm having trouble putting on my T-shirt, get on a flight home. I'm like, okay, it'll get better.
That's the point right there.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. It'll get better because it's just sore. And then, so someone who was in the room with us was Dr. Gill, who is a doctor. So he sent me.
I'm not positive, by the way, but go ahead.
He sent me a list of what a separated shoulder is.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it and I was like, all right, severe pain at the moment of the injury occurs. Yeah, okay. So I'm getting a little worried. Limited shoulder movement and tenderness on top of your shoulder at the end of your collarbone. Okay. Swelling and bruising of your shoulder. Nope. No swelling. And then a twisted shoulder. No, it's good. So I'm fine. I do not need to go to the doctor. I tell him, thank you.
And when was this?
This
Two
was,
weeks ago?
This was last Sunday.
Last Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last Sunday
We're going into a second week.
This is day 8 now.
How long do you think you'll wait? Like, if it still hurts next week, will you go?
Well, I can tell you right now, it doesn't hurt until I, like, stretch high. So,
okay,
it's going away. It's going
you'll
away.
Never have to stretch high again, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
also,
yeah, well, no, but it's going away, so I'm fine.
We just want to go on record as saying that earlier when you left the room mm-hmm. and went to open the door, you audibly groaned.
Oh! You went, ugh.
Yeah, when you went to open the door.
Today?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah,
today.
Okay. Well,
I
sure.
You, the door closed. I'm like, did anyone just hear Dave completely wincing and
Listen.
Groaning at
mm-hmm.
opening a door?
You definitely injured yourself.
Yeah,
this
I,
isn't
I,
gonna. You're not Wolverine. It's not gonna heal
no,
itself.
I did injure myself.
Wait,
but you
wait.
Know what?
Are you Wolverine?
That's a great question.
No. Last
okay.
Time.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
No, but I did injure myself. But you know what? It's like I've done this before, where you roll an ankle and stuff like that. And it gets better on its own. So yeah. I sit a little bit. I put some heat on it, and it's good. I'm good
at
to go.
At the same time.
No.
Yes,
no.
I said
no.
I said
yeah.
same time.
Is part of the reason, Dave, that you honestly think it would be a big waste of time because there's nothing they could do for it?
Exactly. There's. What are they going to tell me? Like, oh, it's hurt. And you're like, okay, put some ice on it, take some Advil.
Because, you know, I fractured my hand about a month ago.
Yeah.
I just had a very heavy object in storage fall on it. And
Ow.
It was obvious. I mean, it was very bruised up, but it was obvious immediately to me that it was fractured. But I thought, it's just going to heal on its own, honestly. And I don't want to walk around with
they wouldn't
stupid
put a
cast thing
splint,
on that
probably.
Split,
honestly, yeah. I'm the exact opposite of this. Being a Jewish male, I go to the doctor immediately when there's nothing going on. And when I fractured my hand, I went to the doctor, and it hurt so bad. And he sat, and he was like, listen, I could do all these things to it. And I said, yes, immediately, before he finished a sentence. Mm-hmm. He said, but if you didn't do anything to it, it would heal itself.
Sometimes that's true, but not. I don't think that's always true.
And then I looked at him, I was like, what madman does that? And now I work with
now
one.
Now you know.
You work with a couple.
Yeah.
Donna took my hand about a week ago, and she just squeezed it. And it was like I got shot. I was and she's like, are you kidding me? It still hurts that much? I'm like, yeah, but it's going to get better. She's like, you have to go to the doctor. You're a moron. But again, guy defense.
Yeah.
Guy defense.
Unbelievable.
Just dumb.
What if it heals like in a weird claw?
By the way, it can heal.
Very,
yeah.
Weird way. Very
yeah.
Well could.
Yes. Yeah.
But I mean... No.
That's a good point, Bean.
Good point.
It's a great point.
I am a doctor, and I'm telling you that that's not the case.
Yeah.
So that's the topic that we are looking for is you should have gone to get medical attention. You needed a doctor, but you didn't go.
Or still need it.
Yeah, or true. Still need it. Yes. Kevin, this has to have happened to you, right?
Yeah, I broke my nose and I reset it on my own in front of the mirror.
Oh, my God.
But you've seen a lot of Westerns, and you know how that's how it works.
I saw it
works.
On TV, so I just grabbed it, and I was like, this is going to hurt. I just went, psh! And it pretty much straightened out, and I never
I respect
got
that,
thank
by
you,
the way.
Bean. Thank you.
I got no problems with that.
I also broke a foot playing indoor soccer and didn't do anything with it. Just put my own splint on it and just walked around for a bit. And
who
then,
are
and you're
you?
Fine, right?
I'm an idiot. You know that.
Good Lord.
I'm the king of the idiots.
By the way, guys, going back to Kevin and fixing his own nose, remember Lethal Weapon 2 when Riggs used to...
Yes.
I thought about
when
doing that.
When his shoulder was separated?
Yeah, oh, you just smash it into the wall? I thought about
that.
Yeah,
you should.
But,
yo,
but I was
you
should, so
you
much
should
pain.
Definitely do that.
Should
and
do that
we
now.
Should definitely tape it for social media.
All right, quick break. 1-800-520-1067. Every man listening has this story. We want to hear about the thing you did not go to the doctor for. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right, just head to Billie Eilish. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it John, who is calling from North Hollywood. Good morning, John.
Good morning, party people.
Should've... We are talking about you should have gone to the doctor, but you didn't because you're a dude. What happened?
So the wife and I were having sexy time in the shower.
Hello. Oh.
And I slipped and busted my head open.
Oh, no.
pretty bad, like, you know, where I'm sure I definitely needed stitches.
Mm-hmm.
But we both decided that we shouldn't go because we were both really high, and
right.
This was before it was recreational. We had a couple of really young kids, and we were freaking out that maybe they were going to take the kids away from us. So between the both of us, we just decided if I don't black out, that I would just put pressure on it. We held pressure on it for about 2 hours. And then I wore a hat for about a week.
Just holding it all in.
The blood was the blood was attached to the hat. He just couldn't get it off.
Well, it eventually healed, but it healed like it overlapped on the skin. It didn't heal right on there. So I have like this weird scar, but you can't see it because my hair is growing on top. But you can definitely feel it.
How many stitches do you estimate you probably would have gotten had you gone to the doctor?
Well, I think we counted like the gash was about 2.5 inches long.
We're talking about your head,
I mean,
though.
Yeah, that's about 15 stitches, I think.
Yeah. Dude.
The only question, and I'm surprised no one's asked it yet, is did you finish? I mean, let's be honest.
It's a great question, Kevin.
Yes or no?
Yeah, of course we do.
Okay.
Okay. Also, John, real quick, what's 2 + 2?
4.
I think you're all right. You're good.
You're fine. You do not have a concussion.
Took a
little
while.
Take some more calls. That's okay, Rock.
Look, I don't know why it's mostly guys. I don't understand that, but it is.
Yeah.
We're not smart.
I fell off a stage one time.
Uh-huh.
And
did you get taken out on a stretcher?
Mm-hmm.
I did get taken out on a stretcher, and when it happened, I was unconscious, and it landed on my tailbone, did quite a bit of damage. I woke up, and Dr. Drew was right there at my side, which
yes.
I was so happy to hear, and they took me to the ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, even though I was in an ambulance and was in a great deal of pain and had unspecified injuries, we didn't know how bad it was yet, I declined to go to the hospital.
He got back out. Of the ambulance.
Yes,
and
I
everybody
did.
Was like, you need to tell him to stay in there. I'm like, well, what part of, I don't control
what
him.
What is your thinking then? Being like, I have a hangnail and go to the doctor. Like,
I don't
I don't know. It was a stupid, stupid thing because I didn't get any drugs as a result of that. And it was one of the most painful things that I ever went through. And instead, I had Dave drive me back to the hotel and help me up to the room. Hmm. So guys don't make great choices when they're in pain. Mm-hmm. And I don't fully understand what it's about, but I will tell you, Cynthia has some insight. She's on line 8. She's in Pasadena. She has a story that maybe will shed some light on it.
Hey, Cynthia.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
So this was about 12 years ago. He's my husband now. We were dating at the time. And he was complaining about a pain on his right side of his abdomen. Mm-hmm. My sister had appendicitis a year prior, so I recognized the symptoms right away. And I kept on telling him, you need to go to the hospital. You need to go to the hospital. It's appendicitis. He swore it was a hernia. No, it's just a hernia. He was drinking cranberry juice. And I was like, yeah, because that's how you treat a hernia. You drink cranberry juice.
You married a dumb dude.
So I finally tell him the story of my stepdad's brother who had appendicitis way back like in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And his appendix ruptured and it poisoned his bloodstream. So he was in a body cast for a full year.
Oh my goodness.
True story. And that's what finally got him to go to the hospital. When he got there, it like they don't even know if it ruptured or they accidentally cut it when they were doing the surgery. But I mean, he got there just in the nick of time.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. His appendix though? That's what went south in there?
I'm sorry?
His appendix burst?
Yes. Yes. Because he was dealing with the pain for 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You married a dumbass.
Thank you for the call.
All right.
He was drinking cranberry juice for
yes,
a hernia.
I mean, yes.
Not, it's, that's like a UTI, dude.
Yes.
What's exactly happening?
I had a good one. Oh, here we go. Jacob, please. Alhambra, line 2, up next on the Kevin Amin Show.
Morning, Jacob.
Hey, what's up? Guy power. Am I right?
Sure, Jacob.
Sure. Sure,
yeah. Absolutely. It's going our way right now, yeah.
What's your story?
All right, so in high school, I dislocated my rib in a wrestling match, and I didn't go to the doctor because I was afraid they'd tell me I'd have to stop wrestling. But I had to stop wrestling because it hurt so much anyway. So.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
Did you end up eventually going?
No. And so the way it healed is that it sticks out about an inch or two out of my, like, middle of my torso below my nipple.
Oh, nice.
That's very cool.
It's never been a problem except when I want to cuddle with my girlfriend, so we watch a movie. She'll only cuddle on my left side because if she cuddles on my right, she'll be like, "Your weird rib is poking me."
And it's not a rib.
you have like a nipple bone.
Yeah, basically.
That isn't good for you.
I don't know. I think his story ended up okay. That's pretty cool.
Is it?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. From the 626, a few years ago, my boyfriend got bit by a spider on his back and became sick to the point that he couldn't hold food down, but refused to go to the emergency room a week. After that, he finally went after not being able to even hold water down and ended up having to get surgery to remove the... Allie, are you ready?
Yes.
Pus ball.
Oh, stop it.
You go to hell.
He had to stay in the hospital for 3 days after that. Probably could have avoided all of that if he had gone shortly after being bit by a spider.
I mean, Kevin, how long did you wait before you
went
in?
Well, I told you it was scary to me.
Yeah.
When I saw the back of my neck, I was like, holy S, I need to go right now.
Okay.
But normally I don't.
Okay.
Let's go to Brandy. She's in Orange. She's line 3. She may be our only lady on this topic.
Hey, Brandy. Welcome to the dumb guy segment.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
My fiance, when we first started dating about 7 years ago, he was in a mosh pit at a show. And
oh, so you're not the dumb one.
Cool.
It's still another dude.
It's okay. Another dude. Go ahead.
Yeah, drunk out of his mind at 20 years old in a mosh pit and came down funny on his legs and thought, immediately collapsed, but thought, it'll be fine. They take him out of the show, sit him down, and he goes to get it checked out, but they don't do much with it. Basically, they just tell him, you know, it's sprained or whatever, and he just deals with it for like 10 days, not being able to move. It swells up like a football. It's totally black. Mm. And when we finally convince him he needs to go and really get it checked out and pay attention to it, turns out he tore 2 tendons that, you know, rubber band back up into his leg. He fractured broke through his tibia, and then he separated his foot off of his ankle by like 4 centimeters.
Oh, my God.
Did you know what the band was, though? Was it like a cool band?
It,
I think so. I feel like it was a bad religion show. But
oh,
I,
okay.
I
maybe worth it. Maybe worth it. Yeah. Worth it.
That turned around.
Did he just drink cranberry?
And now, a public service announcement from The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, it's Allie. I know we mostly kid here on Kevin and Bean, but with today's heat, I want to get serious for a second. With these temperatures, buttholes are the first to feel it. Be aware of swamp ass. Keep a washcloth close and your anus in mind. Thanks for listening.
The Kevin and Bean Show. We care.
It's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, doing our job. Very helping nice. You.
Helping
I
your
thought
bee
it was hot
hole.
Outside, but it's even hotter hearing Allie talk about anuses. Right?
Ooh. I mean, that's weird.
No, who's with
zero people?
Just giving advice to people who have swamp ass.
Tool tickets for their upcoming shows here at the Staples Center coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. First, Allie's got what's happening on a Tuesday.
I'm not saying it's my favorite story in a while, but this is my favorite story in a while. A Catholic school in Nashville, Tennessee has banned the Harry Potter series. Why, you may ask? Well, a reverend at the school claims that the books include both good and evil magic, as well as spells, which, if read by a human, can conjure evil spirits.
Calm down, bitch.
Wow. Wow.
Reverend Dan Rehill at St. Edward's Catholic School Parish said, quote,
Hail Satan.
Nope. Quote, the curses and spells used in the books are actual curses and spells, which when read by a human being, risk conjuring evil spirits into the presence of the person reading the text. He explains in the email that was sent out that he has consulted several exorcists in the U.S. and in Rome, and it was recommended that the school remove the books.
One of the students said,
that's bullshit.
I mean, I went to Catholic school my whole life.
Yeah.
This is some bizarre stuff. I mean, we believe some crazy stuff.
And why
right?
so
Water,
soon,
wine,
by the way?
Who's with me? But yeah, why so soon? Exactly.
Good point.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like the books have been around long enough and have been popular enough that if there were any spells being conjuring from reading them, we'd have heard about it.
Right. I just hope that people are walking by him in the halls with little wands.
Same.
And they're just like, boo, and just freaking him out.
If I saw him, I'd be like, excuse me, sir, when are we bringing out the sorting hat? Like, right? I would just ask him all Harry Potter questions.
Sir, I'm aware you're a muggle. However, like, what is happening? You guys in Nashville, Tennessee.
A person's being dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So dumb.
Isn't that creepy?
It is. I love it so much. Guys, the Spice Girls are reportedly set to meet with Victoria Beckham to discuss what? Oh, just the prospect of playing Glastonbury 2020.
Yeah!
All right. So Mel B, otherwise known as Scary Spice, has claimed that she and Jerry, Ginger, Mel C, Sporty Spice, and Emma, Baby Spice, will be meeting with Beckham to discuss playing that show because Posh Spice expressed her desire to do so.
Oh, but she sat
was the whole day.
Yeah, she was.
She
maybe,
sat out the Wembley shows.
Maybe it's just I don't want to do a tour. I don't want to do anything.
I
want to
see how much
one-off.
Money you make first, and then I'll make my decision.
Yeah, and if you're gonna do a show with all of them, it's gonna be Glastonbury, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I would say that's unbelievable.
But if Glastonbury proves impossible, fans can still take comfort in knowing that all five of them, yes, all five, are signed up to appear in a forthcoming animated movie. Will that take the place of Glastonbury?
No, 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 not the same.
Not even a little bit, no.
It's a brand new. What was the last band that they did an animated TV show or movie about?
Sha-na-na.
I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, the early days, the Beatles had a cartoon, the Jackson 5 had a cartoon, but what was it? I mean, more in more modern times, has anyone? Jensen?
I'm thinking.
Anyone?
New Kids?
Fall Out Boy.
I feel like T-Pain had a cartoon over at Adult Swim.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Really?
Okay. Freaknik or something like that.
Oh.
Doesn't happen often.
No,
it doesn't. It's also not the same.
No, it doesn't replace seeing them together now.
Correct.
I don't know. I was super stoked to see him at Glastonbury, but now I can watch this animated movie, so it's cool. So weird. I don't know if I've been as excited for a movie as I am Joker. How incredible has every single trailer, every snippet that you've seen, has been better than the one before? Unbelievable.
Agreed. Can't wait.
Well, it received an 8-minute standing ovation at the Venice Film Festival over the weekend.
Yeah! 8 minutes is a long time.
Right? Wouldn't you be like, if you're Joaquin, like, I'm going to go get a beer. I'll be
back. And then they kept cheering, and then he came back with a beer.
8 minutes, you guys. Oscar buzz already. Early reviews call it a masterpiece, groundbreaking. I mean, this thing is looking pretty good, you guys.
And I think one of the things that people are finding so interesting is that it's a superhero movie because of the character of the Joker, but it is completely reality-based.
Right.
Like, there's no people flying or things blowing up or, you know, people shooting lightning out of their fingertips.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with those movies, man.
No, but I'm saying
Let's not let story get in the way.
This is different in that it kind of could be real. Could happen.
Great. Looks great.
We're going to have all these, like, oh, I'm descending into madness, like Joker people, right?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, that's not where you're saying. No. Okay. No. October 4th, losing, by the way.
Joaquin losing 52 pounds to play this role, that's some commitment.
I think he just does that. I think he just diets, and that's how he gains and loses weight, just picks up roles.
Christian Bale is laughing at this conversation.
No kidding.
He's like, I lost 50 pounds for a role I had to lose 5. He's amazing, you guys. Not to take away from Joaquin
Phoenix. No, not at all, because it's...
Christian Bale is pretty amazing, you guys. Hey, when we come back, I'd like to talk to you about cheese.
I'm sorry?
You heard me.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about cheese. And would you pay $900 for cheese?
Can I answer now?
Yeah. Same. Absolutely. No. Not.
Oh. You would so pay $900 for cheese.
Please.
What if it's a 72-pound wheel of cheese?
Do I get to chase
it
down
a
mountain?
All right, I'll just do the story now. Costco is actually selling a whopping 72-pound wheel of Parmesan cheese for $900.
You got too much dip on your chip.
Which works out to 78 cents per ounce or $12.50 per pound.
But you have to buy 144 of them.
You have to buy, the 72-pound wheel of Parmesan. However, I did like the reviews on the store's page. One person said, I bought this as a surprise for my son's wedding reception. He's a fiend for the stuff. With the help of YouTube instructions and the proper tools and his good buddy, he and his brother cracked open the parm in front of family and friends to great applause and cheers. It was fun to watch and actually quite beautiful. The cheese is magnificent, fragrant, and delicious. Another reviewer wrote, got this as a gift. What the hell am I supposed to do with all this cheese? These are actual reviews.
Cheese grater.
It's just, it's too much cheese. It's too much cheese, you guys.
Don't mess with my cheese, bro.
All right, bro. Some birthdays for you. Charlie Sheen.
People can't figure me out. They can't process me. I don't expect them to. You can't process me with a normal brain.
All right. Steve Jones and Sean.
Cure was so good near the Rose Bowl.
Kevin, how was the Cure this weekend?
Oh, so great.
They are your favorite band, right?
So great. One of my favorite bands, yeah. Mm-hmm. So great. Rage Against the Machine is my favorite. But it's been a minute since they've been here.
It has.
5, 6, 7 years or something like that.
Did you happen to, as many people did, run into Lady Gaga in the audience?
I did not.
She was having the time of her life at that Cure show.
She had access that I didn't have access to, oddly.
Also, what do you mean?
I mean, she was in some section where there weren't a lot of people around her.
Oh, okay.
Except for her people.
Oh.
But, getting a beer, though. Getting a beer should not take 30 to 40 minutes.
Oof. No.
Each time.
Yeah.
That's rough.
You don't love that.
How were the Deftones? How were the Pixies?
Didn't see Deftones. I got there just after them. I was very disappointed. Pixies were good. Pixies were good. They could use a turning stage, though, people, like we do. They could use a turning stage.
Yeah.
So Pixies go off, and it's a full hour before the Cure comes on.
Do they think you're going to go to the other stage and see the other bands?
There wasn't any... I don't think there was one going after Pixies.
Hmm.
Between Pixies and the Cure. But
so
the
you
Cure
just
was,
kind of all looked at each other
there
for an hour?
Yeah.
Okay,
here we are. Huh. Sure wish the Cure would come out, but we knew they weren't supposed to come out for another hour, so it took a while.
You could have got 2 beers in that time.
Exactly. It was great.
So we sent the right concert correspondent.
Yes, thank you.
Allie.
Bean.
you're going to introduce us to something new. It's Allie's Get Up On This.
It's not something I want to get you up on, but I would like to hear your thoughts on this. People had talked about it a few years ago. There was an article, I think, in the New York Times about something called chore play. But it has come to the forefront because a blogger and an influencer wound up posting about chore play. And it has really divided people. Here's what chore play is. It's exchanging chores for sex. So wives are cheekily they're coupling the hashtag chore play with images of perfectly tidied up playrooms, freshly mopped floors, all to show that my husband's been very busy around the house. And because I hashtag chore play, we're about to get busy in the streets.
I hate everything about this. I know the reason I hate it is because sex is not something that you earn based on something that you do for somebody else. It's supposed to be this goes back to, hey, bring down the patriarchy here. This is what this is doing is saying that women don't enjoy sex. They give it up if they have to.
It's leverage to get stuff done.
That's disgusting.
I didn't feel like it was quite that serious.
That's what a lot of people are saying. That, listen, you're promoting this twisted power dynamic where you're basically saying, okay, because I need you to do this, the thing that I can give you, the only thing I have is sex. So here, you put together this table, I'm going to do you. But and I think,
what about those of us that can't put together a table?
you're not getting any sex. Yeah,
I just feel, I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about this except what you said. It seems super gross to me, Allie.
Okay, Bean.
Am I wrong?
I'm not taking it quite that seriously. It seems like fun.
Yeah, I think to certain couples, if this is kind of fun for them, if this is kind of a kink, if you will. Good for them if it works for you. But if it becomes a thing where you're like, I am not having sex with you until you clean that up, that's transactional and that's weird and that's creepy. Absolutely.
And then they come to bed and then she says, well, did you take out the trash?
He's like, oh. The whole list he gets. Yeah, it's just that makes it very gross. Absolutely. But, yeah, you don't want it to feel like you're in a transactional relationship at all. But if you're keeping it kind of fun and you make it about, like, both of you, let's say you dress up and you got, like, a whip and you're like, hey, I'm just going to stand here and make sure you get this done. And then he's like, oh, is this right? As he's, you know, like, screwing a nut and bolt.
What?
I don't know. What I'm saying is if you make it fun for the two of you and that works, great. But if it does become something where everything is leveraged for sex, that's a problem in your relationship for sure.
I think so. How are the internet divided on this? Is this
the same exact way? Some saying, "Oh, just have fun with it, whatever." And if you both are into sex and that's what you're going to do, and at the end of it, your whole kitchen looks great
and everyone's happy,
fantastic.
Right.
And then other people saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." This is a real problem in your relationship if the only way you can get your husband to help around the house is to do a chore, and the only way he feels he can get sex is to do a chore. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So Bean is not for chore play.
I mean, it depends on how it's done. If it's done in fun and both of them are having fun, absolutely.
Well, I'm against chores also.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
I'm against play. Here's my thing. I think, like, if it starts to feel like that's the only reason you're having sex is because you're doing the chores, that's a major turnoff.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But if you're doing it as like a role play, but that would be minimal. That would be once in a while. You're also like, you know, school bus driver and... Well, I guess that would probably be bad.
What's happening right now?
That's a weird example.
The one role play scenario I came up with is painfully illegal.
You know how Jensen likes to pretend he's a pediatrician?
Oh! 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
We have heard your many requests, and we are going to be playing something from the brand new Tool album coming up right after Allie's What's Happening. And... giveaway tickets to go see them at Staples Center.
It's very abrupt.
they like the band, but they know we have work to do.
Okay.
5 minutes from right now, we'll tell you how you can win your tickets to see Tool on the 20th or 21st of October. That's coming up first, though.
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? In your butt.
Oh.
Changes everything.
Yeah, that's a different story than I was prepared to do. Why don't we stick to the what's happening stories. Kevin Hart is recovering from back surgery following a car crash over the weekend. It happened early Sunday morning. He's expected to remain in the hospital for a few days while he recovers, but he was a passenger in his electric blue 1970 Plymouth Barracuda. It was kind of like his baby. He bought this car, was posting a ton of pictures with it. Like, it was his big birthday present to himself. But it swerved off Mulholland Highway in Malibu Hills, crashing through a wooden fence and falling into a gully around 1 a.m. on Sunday. The roof of the car crushed from the impact of the crash, and his friend Jared Black had been driving the car, and he was pinned inside of it. Apparently, he is the personal trainer, and or his wife's personal trainer was also in the car, who also could be the other guy's girlfriend.
A lot of weird things
in the story, including the fact that he got out of the car, Kevin Hart, and another car picked him up, and he left the scene to go get treatment. So that's a bizarre little aspect of the story. But
while the car, did we decide it was upside down?
It was upside down, yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't know.
I thought that leaving the scene of a crash is, like, bad. I thought that's, like...
Unless he
went to get help. Unless there was cell service or whatever. to alert ambulances to come to the location. I don't know. I mean, we got a lot of questions.
We do have a lot of questions, and hopefully Kevin Hart will answer them. All right. A seriously injured Jared Black was pinned in the car after the crash. He was flown to UCLA Medical Center. His condition not really known at this point because, well, he's not Kevin Hart.
That's
is essentially what this article is saying.
Like, he wouldn't walk around with his penis up. Right?
Whoa. Sir, that is a weird comment.
Right?
So there's a big concert taking place on December 5th at Friends Arena in Stockholm. It's going to be an Avicii tribute concert for mental health awareness. It's going to feature vocalists from Avicii's biggest tracks, including Adam Lambert, Allo Black, Rita Ora, Otto Knows. These artists will perform Avicii's music with the accompaniment of a 30-piece backing band.
Wow.
And, you know, if that's not enough for you, the concert will open with DJ sets from some of Avicii's close friends and pretty big names, including David Guetta, Kygo, Laidback Luke, Dimitri Vegas, and Like Mike, and Nicky Romero.
Kevin, how are you not on a plane to Sweden?
That does sound good.
Well, he's got some time. It's going to happen on December
5th. I'd have to wait for a long time, Bean.
Yeah. All right, guys, I'm in Stockholm. What should I do for almost 2 months?
I know it's only September 6th.
Little
what
early.
What do I do now?
Little early for that trip.
Anyone got food wrecks? For the next 2 months.
All net profits from the concert will go to supporting organizations which address mental health needs and suicide prevention. So that sounds like a great show with a lot of great people for a great cause.
That was, I mean, look, they're all tragic and sad and you never see any of them coming. But that one, man, that still
that
stings.
That was a shocker.
That was such a shocker.
For sure.
So sad.
For sure. So, Cardi B, Chance the Rapper, they have a Netflix show that's going to air as a 3-week event.
Oh, I'm interested. I've only seen headlines about this. I don't know anything about it, but it sounds like it might be fun.
It's a 10-episode hip-hop competition series from Cardi B, Chance the Rapper, and T.I. It's called Rhythm and Flow. It's going to air over 3 weeks, starting on October 9th.
Can I win?
You could... give us a little bit of your flow, Bean.
Well, I have no flow.
Okay.
I have no flow.
Okay.
Then no.
So you probably won't win.
I might not win.
Flow will be a large aspect to it.
Is it like American Idol where kids just get up and rap? Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're trying to find new talent. And it's going to be Netflix, their first ever music competition series. Not bad.
It's so funny because every time another new music competition series comes along, we go, we do not need another one. Like that songwriting one that's on right now. None of us have watched 1 minute of it. We don't need it. But for some reason, I think it could be very entertaining to watch people hip hop.
to watch them hip hop.
It did sound cool until about 5 seconds ago.
He was going well, and then
I like to see people hip hop.
Well, now we know what Netflix is going to put on the poster.
Wow, I love to watch people hip hop.
Wow, that took a turn.
You're such a dork. I think now we know who's going to be reviewing this series.
Yeah.
Every
unbelievable
week.
I should be judging the series.
Wow. I love the way you hip-hopped right there, young man.
And
you
got mad skills with a Z.
Your flow sounds incredible. Thumbs up.
You are a treat.
Excuse me? I'm screaming.
Well, speaking of Cardi B, how about some new Reebok sneakers inspired by her nails?
I love it!
I'm sorry?
Her fingernails. It's a new pink tennis shoe named the Crystal Coated Club C's, which is inspired to look like her fingernails.
Okay.
Do we need that?
No,
I don't think so.
There's only going to be 100 pairs available.
Oh,
so
no.
Good luck to y'all.
Even as a shoe head, I'm not interested.
I do like to watch people's shoe.
I didn't get it.
It's just a callback to it. I like to watch people hip hop,
but it didn't make
shoe?
Sense. It made it less sense.
Shoe?
No, it didn't.
The Hall of Fame doesn't listen every day, do they?
God, I hope not.
Really, Bean? Really?
Whew. Except for scoring.
Yeah. Let's get out of here so we can play a game for Tool. Happy birthday, Shaun White, Steve Jones, and Charlie Sheen.
You must let me impose my will all over your face.
Mm. I do not want that, sir. Mm. And that's what's happening.
Let me tell you something about the Tool, by the way. It has been 9 years since they played Los Angeles.
Plus, they go by the Tool now.
And,
I
mean,
and I love the way they
years,
hip-hop.
13 years since they released their last album, and now both are coming true. So Tool heads have a lot to be excited about. Fear Inoculum is out. We'll be hearing something from that next. And we're giving away tickets to see them at Staples Center on the 20th or the 21st. And by the way, Killing Joke is the scheduled opener, which is a great band as well. So this is the 1-2 punch.
I'd like to see them shoe.
We are looking for Tool fans right now. I mean, how deep do you have to be into Tool, Kevin, to win this
game? This one, not much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to win your Tool tickets, call now.
Fear Inoculum.
That's pummeling Tool. Is what that is. Mm-hmm. That's a hammerhead right there. It's awesome. And it's also Tool time. Here's the deal. Here's the deal, you guys. Tool, with their new album that just came out on Friday, first in 13 years, is going to be playing at Staples Center on October 20th or 21st. We are giving away tickets at 1-800-520-1067. The game is called Name That Tool.
Can you name that tool?
That sounds pretty straightforward, Kevin. How's the game played?
Well, we're going to play a song. Oh, no, we're not. We're going to play sound effects of a Tool.
Stop it.
Not a song at all.
Stop it.
We're going to play sound effects of a Tool.
No.
You just have to identify what Tool it is.
It was hard for us to come up with a game to follow up Pennywise the Clown or Pennywise the Band.
Right?
Yeah.
We found it.
I think we've outdone ourselves. Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you successfully name that Tool.
Name that Tool.
You go into the drawing, and someone on hold wins tickets to see Tool at Staples Center. Surprisingly, it's all gentlemen on the line for this game. But why don't we find out who our first contestant is?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, what's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on.
Name that tool.
All right, you ready? Here we go. I can only play it for you once. What is this tool? What?
Sounds like a jackhammer.
It is.
Great.
Nicely done. Good How start. Did you do it?
Good start.
All right. Name that tool.
All right, so Rich is a yay. Who's next?
Art in Pasadena. Good morning, Art.
What's up, guys?
Name that tool.
You ready?
All right, let's go.
All right.
That's a chainsaw.
That is a chainsaw.
Wow.
You gotta be really deep into Maynard and the band and their history and everything for this game.
Every album you have to own.
Sure.
Tony in Northridge, good morning.
This is not for casual fans, is what I'm saying.
Are you ready for
Name That Tool?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Here you go.
Is
is that tool?
That's from their first album, I think.
I don't think
either A, that was a drill or
let's
a blower.
Accept A.
A drill!
Nicely done. Nicely done.
It was a drill. Guys, 3 for 3. These dudes know their tools.
They really do. All right, let's go to, is it Heimer?
Heimer.
Oh,
Heimer.
I'm here.
Yeah,
Heimer.
Guys.
I'll need that. Thank you.
Is it
Name that tool?
Is it Heimer? Well.
I think we're about to find out why Kevin called him that. Listen up. Can you name this tool?
Is it Heimer?
That's a hammer.
Yeah.
And that explains it.
You think that was in my head, and that's why I
do.
Said it?
I think it was hype. I think it was, yeah, exactly.
You're giving me more credit than I need. Robert in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, are you ready for
Name That Tool?
Yes.
All right, good luck.
It's so stupid.
How dare you say this is stupid? Robert. We need a tool name.
He's Googling.
Come on, Robert.
I don't know, honestly.
That was a
wrench.
Yeah, that's a wrench.
That's just a wrench.
Yeah.
A
wrench.
Hmm. You don't have to say it was ratchet.
Let's go to Mike in Riverside. Good morning, Mike.
Is it Heimer?
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Mike, don't be ratchet. We're playing Name That Tool. Listen up. What's this? Here's a hint. Everyone who uses one should be shot.
Weed whacker.
Yes!
Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic.
Like it's going great, you guys. We got time for one more? All right. Let's make it Chris in Long Beach. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. You ready for
Name That Tool?
Here you go.
Yes, I am.
Good luck. Wow, really? Really tough clues. Some really tough clues there. What do you
that sounds like a saw.
That is a saw.
Name That Tool.
Nicely done.
Kevin, how would the guy in the Saw movie congratulate or whatever?
Congratulations, Chris. You got all to right. play a game. Hey, let me finish. Son of a.
Sorry. What's it like being cut off, Kevin?
Allie, I have to give you credit for remarkable restraint in a game that involved hammering and drilling
Thank
and
you.
Weed whacking.
Thank
you were very good.
I appreciate it.
You were very good. All
I
right. Rich
it.
And Art and Tony and Heimer. And Mike and I think
please
Chris
Heimer.
Are all in the
Heimer,
drawing.
Please.
Only one will win tickets to see Tool on the 20th or 21st of October at Staples Center. Who's our winner, please?
I mean, we should still be happy for Tony, because Tony's
Tony.
Winner.
Tony.
Is it Toner?
Congrats, Toner.
Yeah, sure.
And thanks for playing the game.
Name That Tool. Tool.
Faster, rhythm, it gets harder.
Lana Del Rey. Ooh. Told us she almost didn't do that song because she likes Sublime too much and she didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah, she told us that when we had her in here last week. And if you have not yet seen that interview, you might want to check it out. It's at krock.com. And she is delightful, as always. And the new album is so, so good. All right, Allie, time for one final look at what's happening here on this Tuesday that feels like a Monday. What's going on?
Well, the Alec Baldwin roast on Comedy Central is going to tape this Saturday, and then it's going to air on September 15th. And we finally know who will be roasting him. They have finished rounding out the dais. We have all the names. So we knew it was going to be Robert De Niro, Blake Griffin, Caitlyn Jenner, Chris Redd, and of course, Jeff Ross.
Sure.
Okay.
But now we have even more names.
Give me some Tina Fey.
One who I think should be at every roast because she absolutely kills it. Nikki Glaser.
Nikki Glaser.
Excellent. Yes. Ken Jeong.
Okay.
Who, when you think mean, you think Ken Jeong right there. Caroline Ray.
Okay.
And Adam Carolla.
Oh.
Whoa. How about that?
He's a pal.
Adam Carolla. So there you have it. By the way, in case you didn't know, Sean Hayes will serve as roast master.
Why don't Tina Fey?
I don't really think of her
as much
roast.
Of a, I don't think she likes the roasting.
Okay. I mean, she was just so close with him for so long that I would have expected.
Maybe she'll do a video piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a fun show.
This will be a big coming out comedy-wise for Blake Griffin. Because this will be sort of his biggest thing he's done out in public stand-up-wise, and he's so good and delivers great.
There you have it.
There you go.
Caitlyn Jenner, though. What?
Yeah, what's that about?
Interesting. I don't know. So a lot happening with these Popeye's chicken sandwiches, right? So we found out last week they're gone. There's no more chicken. They need to, you know, replenish and then everything will be fine.
And this is nationwide.
Big fat, juicy pickles.
Please stop holding up places like this location in Houston where a group of men pulled out a gun at a Popeye's because they were out of the chicken sandwiches. We know they are out of chicken sandwiches, you guys. Stop it.
I don't even drive by the Popeyes in my neighborhood because I'm afraid of getting caught in some crossfire.
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy. That's why when I was handed this story from Dave, I thought to myself, well, this seems like a lie. Popeyes, are you lying to us? Do you have chicken sandwiches?
What?
Because it appears you have chicken sandwiches, because when Diplo posts a picture of him boarding the Popeye's private plane, airstrip unknown, en route to Burning Man, eating himself some Popeye's chicken goddamn sandwiches on that plane.
So you think they're holding back?
They're holding back.
For celebs.
Exactly.
Okay, but as a great woman once said,
well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think? Diplo thinks I am on the Popeye's plane eating sandwiches and life is good. It's awesome to be Diplo. I do like this article, though. While rich men who don't wear shoes on private planes are the least surprising thing in celebrity news, his hoarding of the chicken sandwiches does speak to the artificially generated demand and scarcity principles that have allowed the wealthy to hoard resources and deprive the working class of livable conditions. I mean, maybe that's pretty far, but still.
Do you think that really happened, or do you not think that really happened?
It happened. He posted stories of him eating the chicken sandwich. Diplo was eating chicken sandwiches on the Popeye's plane.
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
So he's fiddling while Rome burns, basically, is what's
happening. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And Popeye's, you got sandwiches. Why are you lying?
But he's just straight up drinking water during a drought. You know what I mean? Just,
exactly.
Just spitting our faces with it.
Not even drinking the water, just letting the hose run into his yard.
That's right. Ugh. Disgusting.
This is a lot of info to process.
Thank you, Martha. I'm sorry about that. It is a lot. Also a lot, Justin Bieber is sharing on his Instagram, and by a lot, it's pretty awesome. He's been honest with fans about his mental health, and now he's opening up all about his journey. And it's a very lengthy Instagram post, but in it, you really start to see a whole different side of him. He talks about his struggles with getting famous at 13, not having to basically develop any life skills that we all have to learn, because he says
we do out of necessity.
Yeah.
He didn't have that.
I have no skills.
Right.
He said, everyone did everything for me, so I never even learned the fundamentals of responsibility. By this point, I was 18 with no skills in the real world, millions of dollars, and access to whatever he wanted. And he said when he was 13, you just keep hearing, you're so great, you're this, you're that. You start believing it, and then everything just turns into, what can I get? How can I get it? And there's no rationality that you go through.
And this is how you screw up and lose Selena Gomez, too, by the way.
Well, he does address that when you're on stage, that's the biggest high you have in your life. You're playing for millions of people. You come off stage and you want that high again. That's why so many entertainers turn to drugs. And he said, I started doing pretty heavy drugs at 19 and abused all of my relationships. I became resentful, disrespectful to women, and angry. I became distant to everyone who loved me, and I was hiding behind a shell of a person that I had become. I felt like I could never turn it around.
Wow.
You hear that?
I almost like him. Yeah.
Are you playing Name That Tool again?
Yeah, we're playing Name That Tool. We're building the sound space. No, the whole post is unbelievable. It does take a positive turn, talks all about his marriage to Haley, how it kind of turned everything around for him as well. And it's basically, he's saying you can always grow and evolve. You don't have to stay the person that people think you are.
That's what I like about it, by the way, is not just that he is coming forward and explaining his own bad past past behavior, but he is showing a path forward for people who may be struggling with similar things. Not with the superstar fame, but just with being lost and being young and making dumb mistakes. It doesn't have to define you for the rest of your life.
And yeah, you're never truly stuck. It feels like it a lot of the time, but you're never truly stuck. If you don't want to be stuck, get unstuck. Thank you. That's our next Kevin and Bean t-shirt.
That should be your next book.
True Tony Robbins work there.
Thank you. Wow. A book? Now I'm Tony Robbins. I was just going t-shirt.
If you feel stuck, you don't want to be stuck, just don't get stuck.
Get unstuck.
I do think there is something, too, and it's not talked about often enough, what Justin puts in his Instagram post about how the human brain is not fully formed when you are 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, which is part of the reason why young people, everyone in this room included, made dumb decisions that made sense at the time, and why we push back at adults telling us we shouldn't do those things because we're not thinking rationally yet.
Yeah.
It's true.
He said, if you notice the statistics of child stars and their outcome of their life, there's an insane pressure and responsibility put on a child whose brain, emotions, frontal lobes, decision making, aren't developed yet. No rationality, defiant, rebellious, things all of us have to go through. Then you add on to that, this guy could point at something and buy it. He never had to worry about any of that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's incredible that he is where he is now.
Yeah. That's why there's so many more Gary Colemans and so few Ron Howards. You know what I mean?
Right.
Child stars that go one direction or the other.
Danielle Fishel's.
She's great.
I mean, just one bad decision.
Right?
But
yeah. Major bad decision.
One terrible one that will stick with her for life.
I mean, no big whoop.
Or 18 months.
Right.
Wow.
Listen, she made it, man. She survived that.
Absolutely.
And she made mistakes, too. She has her small run-ins and stuff, but she's a genius.
I would hate to see what all of us did if we were 13 and we had that kind of success.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Plus, his parents were so young, too, that probably didn't help all that much. You know, they had really lived
like,
their life.
Traveling the world with him, like...
His dad was like a kid when he had him.
Yeah, his dad was taking his leftovers, basically.
Yes.
It was gross. Hey, Ali, I know that you're wrapping up, and I know that we're at the end of the show, but I forgot to give away the UCLA football tickets.
I would love for you to give them away here.
You know, if you're stuck, just get unstuck.
Right?
No, but I'm stuck
at great
this,
person say.
This moment that I can't get out of, though, is the problem.
Wow.
September 14th, Bruins versus Oklahoma at the Rose Bowl. You can buy your tickets at UCLABruins.com or you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20, you win. Go Bruins. Thanks.
Somebody call my mama.
He got unstuck, you guys.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Real good. Some birthdays for you. Sean White, Steve Jones.
It was
Jones.
On timing, though, wasn't it? Because he wouldn't let you get to the birthdays, which is all you had left.
Yeah. No, I was trying to finish it before she got out, because once she does the birthdays, then you're on to your thing.
I see how it goes.
He didn't want to cut you off, Kevin. And Charlie Sheen.
Before the birthdays, the Dodgers are on a bit of a tear. Last night they had 16 runs.
Unbelievable.
It was crazy. Yeah. Tons of home runs.
Crazy.
A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour with Stryker
and Klein.
And that's
what's happening.
It's happening. Thanks to our random act of helpfulness and the SoCal helpful Honda dealers.
I have a 10,000-year-old brain and the boogers of a 7-year-old.
That's Charlie Sheen's birthday.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What you saw at Bernie. What you saw at Burning Man. I saw a 100-year-old scrote, and that's not good.
What?
Ever. We're also giving away the Billie Eilish private concert and a brand new 2019 Honda Fit.
Look out.
Going out. Let's do it.
And we've